All righty. Okay, here we go. It is time for the Green Country Gardener Program, and we have Larry in here. Kevin has joined us here today on this bright, sunshiny day as we get things going here. I'd seen how we all survived all the high wind and everything else here earlier in the week. And there we go.
That wind was something else.
It's something. It was. Absolutely.
Can't you guys exercise any self-control?
You know something, jeez. Kevin? I keep telling him here, we don't make it. We just kind of report it.
Yeah. Larry, that wind, the only thing, and I was worried about trees because, of course, it's dark.
Yeah.
And the next day, of course, it's been raining ever since. And I had one small limb from a Foster Holly get broke off. That's it.
That's not bad.
You're lucky. No.
You see, it survived for the most part, so yeah, you're all right on that. Foster Holly, it'll grow and it'll fill in for that.
Oh, yeah.
And if you doubt, they have a way of doing that.
Yeah.
We have some Foster Hollies that we planted out east of town years and years and years ago, and I've cut them back to the quick a few times. They're way up there again.
I know.
We're going to try to get our bobcat out there to lift them up and relocate them.
And my Foster Hollies have lots of red berries right now.
Yeah, they're good about that. Foster Holly, Nellie R. Stevens, yep. A lot of hollies are really having some good berries this year. Yeah, especially the deciduous hollies. They're very attractive.
Deciduous. What brand is that?
It ain't Del Monte.
Ilex verticillata.
That means they keep their leaves.
No,
it means they lose their leaves.
Yeah. Instead of hiding all the berries behind the leaves, the berries are exposed.
So what's a deciduous holly?
That's a deciduous.
Give me a brand name.
Deciduous holly.
Oh, that's it, huh?
There's several varieties.
It's not like a Foster.
Yeah, there's several varieties of deciduous holly, but possum hall is another word for it, too.
Oh.
Possum haul, something possum. You cook.
Do you have to skin it first?
Or something that goes thump in the night when you possum. Get out of the road.
Granny and Ellie Mae and
Jed,
they love that possum.
That's a culture we'll never live down.
Love those possums.
Possum, yeah. But anyway, yeah, the possum haul, otherwise known as deciduous holly, or otherwise known as Ilex verticillata, is a very good plant. It's a native plant, too. They grow wild around here shortly when all the leaves finally get off of all the pin oaks and things. We'll be able to see them into the woods.
A lot of them got rid of them the other day.
Oh, man. They're up in, where are they now, in Turley?
Well, what? Like my son said, he had his yard all cleaned up, all the leaves in his yard all cleaned up.
Yeah.
But he had a neighbor that never cleaned them up. The neighbor's yard is now clean, and he has all his leaves.
That figures. Yeah. Yeah, before all the wind, I ninjaed all my leaves.
Did what?
Ninjaed.
What's that?
You got a blade on my lawnmower, the X-blade, that just turns it into a powder.
Just mulch them.
Yeah, and they're gone. You just run over, they're gone. Where'd they go? Yeah, they're down in the ground. We can do some good.
Yeah.
So, and then you put the bagger on it and threw the leaves on the beds, shrub beds and things, too. So put it close to the house because the termite people don't like that mulch real close to the house. So that little zone between the end of the shrub and the house is where leaves and things go rather than mulch.
We did my mother's yard and chopped all the leaves up and put them in the flower beds.
Yeah.
They'll be gone next spring, won't they? They'll rot away.
I did some experimenting with that, too, and I found they have fewer weeds in the beds that had leaves on them, as opposed to regular mulch or things, too. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Uh-huh. Yes, a lot. It took my neighbor's bag. He had 10 bags of leaves all along the curb.
So you took them.
And I took them and put them in the backyard and run around and around with the mower and chopped them all up and sucked them up and threw them in the beds. And those 10 bags probably whittled down to maybe
two bags.
One.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like 10-to-1 ratio. Uh-huh. And it's free. It gave me some exercise too. So.
I know. I know a guy that drives through Hillcrest Heights every day and picks up
steals leaves.
Picks up the leaves that are out by the curb. Yeah. Of course, where I live, we just let them blow.
What? Where you live? What? You just let them
we
go?
We just let them blow.
I know. They blow up to my neighborhood.
If they end up in the
I can't get in the front porch.
We just blow them off
these,
the porch.
These leaves have KP printed on them. Yeah. Every one of them.
Puts a brand on them.
But anyway.
And now they're wet leaves, and so.
Yeah, they don't go anywhere.
Yeah. They're not going anywhere now.
Yeah. But anyway, good leaves to mulch for your beds are, of course, maple leaves, elms, sycamores.
Oaks.
Oaks, they have a lot more carbon content in them, so they take a little longer to decompose.
Yeah.
And they consume a bit of nitrogen when they do that, too. So so keep that in mind also. If you blend your leaves into your soil.
Blend them.
Use it as a mulch. They do consume some nitrogen in the decomposition process, and you might have to do some compensatory supplementation.
On that, about 2 weeks ago, I went out, put my sprayer on my Mew, and I sprayed probably half my yard with Roundup. And my fescue has kind of turned a brownish color.
Right. You like that brown glow fescue. A lot of people like it green, but you like
I want to get rid of it.
And that poor mule, poor, I heard him wheezing and honking all the way. Golly. What are you feeding that poor little guy?
Diesel.
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 Yeah, all righty.
I want you to know that I did. I'm experimenting. We're going to see how much fescue is going to die this year.
Yeah. Well, we did have some warm weather, so the warmer the weather, the better that works.
I
know. So.
I don't want to mow 9 months out of the year anymore.
Typically, Roundup does have surfactant in it, and the brand name Roundup does. Some of them don't have a surfactant. You got to look at the label.
Yeah.
Make sure you add a little bit of that to make it more effective. So, and any Roundup that gets in the ground is a waste.
That's right.
So
once it makes soil contact,
you're just throwing it away. So
throwing it away. Just throw it away.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Yeah, they're calling already.
Hey, okay,
if you want to get in.
What's a good tree to plant right now, Larry? Any tree?
Just about any tree, yeah.
Can we plant them right now?
Oh, yeah, good time. Uh-huh. Good time to move them. They don't really know they've gone from one place to another because they're dormant.
Now, the way I understood this, I was listening to one of our other stations up in Kansas, and the they had an extension guy on, I believe from K-State, and he explained why it was so good to plant trees this time of year. He said, you know, the soil is still warm, and so you actually get a couple of months where the roots can establish, even though they're kind of dormant,
but they
will establish themselves before the cold weather, plus then when it's spring, they've already got a couple of months head start on the root system, and then when the dry weather comes next summer, they'll survive.
They have a head start.
Have a head start.
Planting them in the spring is probably the most stressful time for the plants.
Yes, that's what he said.
And people tend to forget to water them. I'll put it in the ground, I'll be on it somewhere.
Ah, we'll get
pour
rain.
A little diesel on it, it'll grow, yeah. But, sometimes I think to do that. But.
So, I mean, that's why it's fall is such a good time of the year to plant.
Fall is an excellent time. Any time between September, October, November, December, January, good time.
So what kind of trees you got out there that we can plant?
Oaks and maples.
Oaks and maples. If you plant an oak, people, I promise you, if you plant an oak, they'll survive.
Oh, yeah.
Maples.
Maples are a bit more shallow-rooted, and they tend to need more water than oak
they
trees.
They need, and if we ever have a drought, the boars will just, lick their, they're licking their chops when they see a maple.
It's a boar buffet.
Yeah.
I had some boars on my fruit trees this year.
Oh, boy.
That was awful.
They lick their chops on maples and fruit trees, don't they?
Yeah, I got my pocket knife. I dug them out.
I know.
They'll heal up.
Really. I just spray them. Spray the bark.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
When you take them out, do you make them pets or something? You know,
I feed them to the chickens.
There you go.
Anyway, so I think I'm gonna plant a tree today.
All right.
Might be a little muddy, but it'll have lots of moisture.
Yes.
I'm gonna plant me a tree.
We do have some Hortsman Blue Atlas Cedar, as rather regular Blue Atlas Cedars.
Don't want a regular one because they get too wide. I have some Blue Atlas Cedars, and they're huge.
Yes, but you don't have a Hortsman.
I had a Hortsman, and the top got knocked out of it, and all it did was go fat on
it. Yeah, they grow laterally when that happens.
Mm. I want it to grow upright.
Okay, well.
In this particular spot.
Well, next time you plant one, just don't fly your airplane slow.
Giving it a haircut. Yeah.
Wait, what else can we be doing to our yards these days?
This is a great time for sod. Fescue sod. Yes. Mm-hmm. If you want some fescue grass, some people do.
Yep.
That's a good time to put that in right now. Zoysia grass also.
Bermuda
grass. You can plant Bermuda grass, but be sure that you
water
it real well when you do it. And get a roller and get that integrated into the ground.
Bermuda will survive just about almost anything in our part of the world, except
shade.
A hard, dry freeze.
Yeah, especially the new stuff. So when you do plant your Bermuda sod, make sure you get a roller and get it real muddy and squish it into the ground, then it'll make it. If you don't, you're going to lose up to 90% of it. But if you get 10% survival on your Bermuda grass, you'll have a lawn in June anyway.
I know.
The way it spreads. So, zoysia grass is very hardy. It's hardy way up north. Yeah. I've never had a zoysia lawn fail installing it in the winter. And fescue grass is actively growing at this point, at least until late December, January, and February starts to come out again growing.
So if you put zoysia down, but you've still got a little Bermuda in there, which one's going to win?
Ultimately, if there's a part sun, the zoysia grass will win out. And in the full sun, it'll be a long, drawn-out battle.
And the Bermuda usually wins, doesn't it?
Loses out.
It does?
Yes, yeah. If you mow it relatively high.
That Bermuda's aggressive, though.
The zoysia is aggressive,
too slow.
But it's kind of like a slow lava flow, if you will.
It'll take over, slow lava flow.
It doesn't do it all at once, but it will eventually take over.
Huh.
I've seen it a lot of times. And in some people's yards, we planted zoysia, and the neighbors had Bermuda grass. And the zoysia grass, in a matter of 10 years, will make it all the way to the neighbor's driveway and choke out the Bermuda grass. So,
all right.
But anyway, so it will take over. It's a very dense-growing grass. Very unforgiving as far as
shading. All right, Larry, thank you.
All right, we've got the phone lines open. Phone lines are open at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with more after this timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And, Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
At Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouse, you'll find a vast selection of poinsettias, Christmas cactus, and greenery to decorate your home for the holidays. And for outside the home, check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees and holly bushes that you can save money at 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias, greenery, and Christmas cactus on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
Now's the time to get your vehicle ready for winter and those holiday trips. See David or Anita Miller at ABS Performance and have your vehicle checked for antifreeze and have them check your heater too. Don't get caught out in the cold. Be safe and have ABS Performance winterize your vehicle before you leave town. Call today, 918-333-4420 for your appointment. That's ABS Performance on Price Road across from the Washington Park Mall. ABS would like to thank their customers for their loyal patronage.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. We've got Larry from Green Thumb Nursery Trees and Greenhouses here. And, of course, your calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. All right. Well, we had a few minutes with Kevin. We got the trees thing pretty much covered here a little bit today, but we've got a few other things that are on the menu today. What you got there, Lawrence?
Well, in addition to trees being able to plant this time of year, shrubs. You can plant also. We relocated a shrub for somebody last week.
Oh, you did?
And we planted it probably 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And the roots were growing very aggressively.
Wow.
Away from the root mass. So it's a good time for that. Even though the plant isn't growing, the root systems are active.
Mm-hmm.
And like we mentioned earlier, it is a very good time to plant trees at this point in time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But the ground is as wet as it is. Can be a little bit difficult. The backfilling can be difficult.
I bet.
So in light of that, we do want to add some compost or some peat moss, something to keep the soil more aerated, because roots on trees do not like an anaerobic soil. It tends to smother them out and get root rot. So that's kind of why we don't like to plant trees when it's really wet like it is now, just because when you put the soil, it tends to pack together and become an anaerobic mass. So, but if you have to, pick up a bag of compost or a bag of Happy Grow, or which is a pine bark mix kind of stuff, or even some peat moss, and that should help aerate the soil to the point where the plant will transition very well to the soil we have. And so they say a lot of times you really don't want to do that, but in this town, we've had to do a lot of that. And there are some parts of town where the soil is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we will put a tree in without any supplement if I feel the soil is suitable. But we still throw some on the back of the truck when we go.
Well, you got to, just to be prepared, just in case.
Yeah, and sometimes even a little bit of sand. When you get this gray, blue clay, or gray, and we get this yellow clay, it's just awful. We ran into some of that in that neighborhood over there east of Madison. Just this yellow clay, and it was wet. And it's just like super glue. It was so heavy. We were putting in a Schmeckler system reroute on it, and it was just so heavy. And you just couldn't manage it. It was so bad.
Wow. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's amazing something will grow in this stuff. Bermuda grass. It tends to like it real well.
It'll grow anywhere almost.
It'll grow on asphalt. But, so the thing is, yeah, it's a good time to plant shrub, but watch your soil type. And if it's really, really heavy like that, you want to use some organic supplement to it to help it transition to the existing soil.
And, of course, if you're going to plant anything, always check your soil.
Right. It's also good for a landscape plan. Spring will be here in just a few months. December, January, February, three months away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be time to thinking about that. It'll be starting to warm it up. The henbit and the dandelions will be blooming. And chickweed will be up everywhere. Yeah, it's time to start thinking about landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
So wintertime's a good time to have that already done and in place so you know what to do and where to put it. So call us up at the nursery, and I can come out and measure your property and give you a CAD program and a 3D design and all that, and you can see exactly what it looked like not only when it's planted, but
wow,
but 3 years, 4 years afterwards. Typically, when we do an installation, we design the size of the plant and their relative growth rate to where there's 3 years before you really have to do any pruning to it at all. So you can sit there and watch it grow for about 3 years. Then, you maybe need to shape it up a little bit. A lot of these plants that are prefaced by the word dwarf is a relative term. Dwarf meaning smaller than the standard plant. Dwarf crepe myrtle, for instance, gets 6 to 8 feet tall.
That's pretty tall. But it's still
crepe myrtle.
It's no, not.
It is not.
For anything else, maybe. Yeah.
And a dwarf Yaupon holly can get up to 3 feet tall, mm-hmm. depending on the variety. There is one called, well, I can't think of it right now, but okay. But anyway, it's really very petite and compact,
mm-hmm.
and it stays really quite small. But it mm-hmm. has a little bit of difficulty with winter hardiness here, mm-hmm. so you don't want to let it dry out in the wintertime. So, mm-hmm. and there's some boxwoods out there too. We're trying to get. Some that are that stay really, really small. There's some that are a foot and a half tall. We tried some what they called weeping boxwoods, which instead of the leaves growing up, the branches go down. But I don't think we sold one of them.
Wow.
The initial appearance is they look like they've been stepped on.
Poor things.
But the beauty of them is they stay really, really quite small and compact. They'll, mm-hmm. when they get older, they'll be just fine. But, but it's like redbud trees. They're kind of hard to sell when they're young.
Well, it doesn't look like much, but it'll become something.
It's ugly. I don't want that in my yard.
It only stays ugly for a while.
Yeah, you know? For a while. And we had some weeping elms.
Uh-huh.
They look like they have been run through the ringer. They're kind of... But when these plants get older, they really look very nice.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to let them grow.
Mm-hmm.
We have some weeping bald cypress, mm-hmm. which are really very nice, and redbud trees too. So that's all kinds of different shapes and sizes of trees and plants in the landscape, and some of these weepers can make good specimen plants in the landscape too.
Mm.
And you have the durability of the bald cypress. And the redbud in a weeping mm-hmm. tree. You're not limited to spruce trees, which can have some troubles when it gets hot.
Mm.
And some other coniferous type plants here around here that can have a little difficulty when it gets really hot in the summer. Mm-hmm. So there are some specimen type plants like that we can use. So,
very good.
So anyway, that's kind of with landscaping. It's a good time to think about that. And also, it is going to get dry next summer. So you might even consider having us pencil in a sprinkler system.
It never hurts to think ahead.
Never hurts to think ahead. Typically, when I do a landscape design, even though we're doing the front, I go ahead and put the whole yard, measure it, and get it
mm-hmm.
as an entity, as a whole thing. Because, you never know. I might get a call someday. Yeah, I've got that on file. Yeah, I'll put
you did change your mind. Good.
I'll go ahead and pencil in a sprinkler system for this one.
There you go.
And sprinkler systems, you don't have to do the whole yard at once.
Mm-hmm.
You can do just the front yard, mm-hmm. Or just the shrub beds or the lawn, one of the two. And it's expandable, provided you go ahead and put enough wires in there to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you do want a sprinkler system, but you don't want to do the whole thing, you want to have the whole thing designed. So later on, if you mm-hmm. want to do the backyard over there at the gate, you just dig a hole and pop the cap off the pipe and splice the wires together and go right on through.
It's
very simple. And... the biggest expense of a sprinkler system is the initial setup.
Mm-hmm.
Your timer, your backflow preventer, your plumber's fees, your electrician, if you have to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of high-end expenses initially. But once you've overcome that hurdle, the second phase is surprisingly inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get it legal first.
That's the hurdle.
And after that, it's pretty easy. So. So, outdoor lighting
is
a good thing to have also.
Oh, it is. Not only is it decorative, it keeps you safe, too.
It's a bit more secure to have your house lit up where people can't hide. I drive around at night and go, golly, how can people's houses? You can't even see the house in some places.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Keeps an honest man honest.
Exactly. And keep it well lit. And with the LED lights out there, it's not that expensive
to keep them lit. All.
At my house, for instance, I had 3 600-watt transformers, one in the front and two in the back mm-hmm. to light up the lights, all halogen lights. Then I swapped them over to LEDs, and I have 100-watt transformer now.
And the savings keep on
significant,
rolling.
Yeah.
Oh,
from 1,800 watts to 100, come on.
Yeah, that's a big
that's
savings.
A big, big savings, and the thing that you're inside the houses, they don't dim, and the fuse doesn't pop when it turns on.
You don't have those annoying problems with LED that you
put a choker on one of them. It was kind of far away from the No, it was the one that was close to the garage. You had to put a choker on it to keep it from... choker is just a coil wire.
Yeah.
And it kind of absorbs some of the shock when the thing turns on.
Mm. It is 8:31, and, of course, your calls are welcome here at the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. And right now, you can pop in at 1-800-749-5936. That's a toll-free number in the area. We're going to take a short time out, and we'll be back with more after these.
This is Brian Ballard with Roman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Roman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7. Online at RomansGM.com.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Peter True Value in Dewey is the place you need to go to get some outstanding buys during their Black Friday sale. Save on Bosch's 2-piece 12-volt lithium-ion combo kit, just $19.99. Save on the Kaloric 10-quart digital air fryer, $79.97. And save on the Smoke Hallow smoker for just $79.99. Save $13 on the Slime 12-volt all-purpose tire inflator, only $19.99. Save money on DeWalt's 108-piece mechanics tool set, $69.99. And save on a 5-gallon 2-peak horsepower wet-dry shop vac, just $39.99. Peter's True Value in Dewey.
What do you do when you want to listen to 1400 K1, but you can't because you're out of the area? Listen to our stream on BartlesvilleRadio.com. Just go to our homepage and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. The 1400 K1 stream is brought to you by Cliffs Flooring and Windows, Cherokee Casino Ramona. Listen on your computer, your smartphone, or other internet-connected device. Whether you're home or away, we're your constant companion. We're 1400 K1.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. It is 8:34 and Larry's here with us to answer your questions. And you can get a hold of us at 1-800-749-5936. What else we have on the old agenda today?
Well, we talked about lawns and landscape and lights and sprinkler systems and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the shrub of the week.
All right, shrub of the week.
Iliagnus angustifolia.
Easy for you to say.
It's a rapid grower up to 10 feet tall. Makes a really good hedge or screen, and it has fragrant flowers in the fall and into the winter.
I like that.
Mm, hence the name fragrant tea olive. When it gets warmed up in the spring, it'll bloom again.
Mm-hmm.
It likes a full sun to a little bit of shade and prefers average soil and will tolerate poor soils. Now, I'm going to lend a little caution to the wind on this one.
Okay, lay it on me here, Lawrence.
Gets to be the monster plant.
Oh.
It's otherwise known as Iliagnus, or we call it the fragrant tea olive, or just Iliagnus. Uh-huh. And it's used a lot as a rather quick-growing hedge. Mm-hmm. And you want to give it lots of room. And if you have something you really want to screen, it's one to plant for quick screen. And a very durable plant as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is evergreen. With the exception of a severe winter, it will drop its leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's out away from the house. It's really nice. Don't plant this one close to the house. There are varieties, and we sell one, that is a variegated dwarf. It's real attractive, too. And it grows fairly quickly, and it just doesn't grow bananas like a lot of the other Iliagnus plants, too. Back in the 80s, down in Tulsa, they were using a lot of these in hedges around office buildings and all that. And you trim it. Back, you know, come back next week, you have to trim it again.
Fast grower.
If you think it's too small, just wait a minute. It's one of those. But we like it for its durability.
Uh-huh.
We don't like it for its short lifespan.
Uh-huh.
But so it's kind of quick to grow, and you'll get about 10, 15, 20 years out of it, and it'll start to get anthracnose of the stem and other problems. It's a member of the olive family. Uh-huh. And it is a little bit on the toxic side, but just don't eat it.
Simple as that.
But it's characterized by leaves that are rounded, mm-hmm. if you will, and the surface of them is somewhat like sandpaper, very kind of rough feeling, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the bottom of the leaf is lighter in color than the top of the leaf, mm-hmm. typically. And when it does bloom, which has a very fragrant bloom on it, that's why it's called fragrant tea olive, it very sweet, almost a jasmine-like smell to it.
Mm.
So if you have room out in the yard, you might consider this one as a plant. It can be trimmed up in a tree form,
mm-hmm.
But you'll just have to keep the pruning shears out there, maybe in a box close by, so you don't need to do it every time you turn around.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, it's kind of like a shrub kudzu, I guess. But it is very durable, so, and it'll tolerate poor soils. It does very well in drought, and does very well in wet weather, too. Mm-hmm. So, but it does get a little bit wild. So that's just one of the many shrubs that we can use for screening.
Mm.
And there are a lot of them out there, too. Anything from the Nellie R. Stevens holly to the cherry laurels to Burning Bush, all these make good hedge and screen plants. Mm-hmm. Variegated privet works rather nicely. Mm-hmm. And fairly recently is a Korean ligustrum, which is a broadleaf, a very tame broadleaf plant. Mm-hmm. So if you want a kind of an evergreen broadleaf plant that just doesn't go, you know, bananas,
mm-hmm.
The Korean ligustrum will work rather well. We have some at the nursery.
Very good.
And we were having questions about its winter hardiness. In the past, and it's survived below zero weather rather well, and it's even maintained its leaves. So that's another one. We have some nice specimens at the nursery of that, too. So for a medium-sized screen, say fence mm-hmm. height, slightly higher than a fence, up to 8 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
That would be a good one also. But it just doesn't grow wild like the Iliagnus. Now, out in the middle of nowhere, maybe the Iliagnus will work just fine as a hedge. But there are others for evergreen hedgerows that work just as well.
Okay.
That do get fairly large, that don't just grow just wild and form a bramble. This one will have a branch that'll come out and root into the ground, and it'll grow out, and it'll root into the ground, and so on and so on. Forsythia does that kind of as well. It will form a real thick, for lack of a better word, bramble.
Okay.
And brilliant color in the spring. After that, you know, nothing.
Nothing.
So if
you
want...
You have a way of managing expectations,
Larry. So if you really want a screen plant, that might work out mm-hmm. really rather well.
Uh-huh.
Another one we've used that's pretty popular is the green giant arborvitae.
Okay.
Arborvitae typically has very close grown leaves together, and they grow, they associate themselves in vertical planes around the tree. So vertical planes of leaves, if mm-hmm. you will. Kind of interesting growth habit.
Mm-hmm.
The green giant follows that, not as tightly, but it does kind of follow it. It mm-hmm. reminds me of a redwood tree,
mm-hmm.
the green giant arborvitae does.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you plant it, and it kind of sits there for a while, then it just takes off.
Mm.
And they get fairly large, too, as the name implies.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a little bit of trouble with borers on them mm-hmm. this last couple of years, which is rare, really very rare for that to happen with arborvitaes. However, the tree has managed to grow around it without, you know, healing up after that and all that. So not much of a big problem. And like I said, they do kind of sit there for a little while, then they just take off.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of screening plants out there, of which the Iliagnus is one you would use for that. So that's kind of how we got off on that tangent. So,
okay.
And the annual of the week is a poinsettia.
Of course, it's a season.
Very popular plant this time of year.
Yes, right? It is.
Very easy to care for, quote, houseplant, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
In their native country of Mexico, they can become leggy bushes reaching up to 10 feet tall.
That's tall.
Yeah, they do get, they can get pretty good size on their own, really. Mm. Most people grow them as seasonal plants during the holidays because their leaves tend to change color when the days get short.
Yeah.
So that's why they, and the flower on it is actually not a true flower. It's what we call a bract, which is a modified leaf.
Sure.
And kind of like the maple trees do in the fall. It's sort of the same kind of thing. And but the flowers are these little yellow things in the middle. And when you're picking out a poinsettia, you want to look at that and see how far that flower has progressed.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, they should just barely be opening, if not open yet.
Okay.
So that way you'll have a really nice, healthy-looking plant throughout the holiday season, if you will. These plants do have a great deal of durability as far as living in the house is concerned.
They go on and on.
They'll tell you if they're under stress. They'll start losing their lower leaves if they're under stress. And stress can be anything from not enough sunshine to cold at night,
mm-hmm.
or too dry or even too wet.
I know people that drown them. They don't mean to. They drown. Yeah. It's out of love.
But we associate the poinsettia with the Christmas season, mm-hmm. Just because its bloom time is coincident with Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been taken on as a tradition in this hemisphere to have them.
And they're very beautiful, too.
In the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of them to choose, all kinds of different colors. They've had a lot of fun breeding these, from white ones to speckled to... We had two of them this year that came in. I guess the supplier just threw them in there. They were this fluorescent pink.
I don't believe I've seen that.
A very hot pink color. And it, a fascinating flower on it. Yeah. And it's kind of hairy.
A hairy pink flower.
Well, we only had two of them, so I don't know if we still have them today or not. But anyway, so they've had a lot of different breeds of these particular ones. And they all share the same hardiness and growth requirements and maintenance requirements, as far as letting them dry out a little bit between waterings and giving them as much light as possible. Mm-hmm. And when they come wrapped up in this wrap, you want to either take it out of the wrap or puncture the wrap, mm-hmm. so the water will run through. Otherwise, they'll root rot before Christmas comes around.
You don't want that.
So, no. But anyway, so... They're pretty easy to do. But anyway, care for the plant is as follows. Keep it slightly moist and make sure it is well-drained. Give medium to high amounts of light, south or west window. You keep it in the window till the in-laws come, then you can put it on the coffee table.
Okay.
Avoid sudden temperature changes. Keep it away from heat registers and so on.
Yeah.
And if there is one overhead, you might either throttle it down a little bit or shut it off altogether close to the vent. And also keep it away from doorways that people frequent, because
temperature change, the fluctuation will just knock it.
And if you follow those sudden, or simple steps, mm-hmm. With any sudden changes in weather and whatnot, they should do okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. It's 8:44, and we've got more of the Green Country Gardener coming up right here.
The Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality poinsettias. Green Thumb has Christmas cactus and greenery to decorate your home for the holidays. And Green Thumb is an excellent place to shop for Christmas. They have Made in America musically tuned wind chimes, and they have everything for the hard-to-shop-for gardener on your list of gift-giving. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 on Sunday.
How many times this week have you asked, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Well, just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time or temperature, from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. Weatherline Forecast Service brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University and by the Stump Funeral Home and Crematory. We update the Weatherline as the forecast changes, so you're always up to date. So put the numbers in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Planet Fitness is open and staffed 24/7. You're not dreaming. Now you can Planet Fitness anytime you want. Cardio at 2 a.m.? Do it. Circuit training at 3 a.m.? Why not? Tan at 4:30. No clock watchers here. The judgment-free zone at Planet Fitness is staffed up and ready when you are. Serving up everything you love about Planet Fitness 24/7. Join in-club or online at planetfitness.com. Drop by anytime. Planet Fitness is always open, always staffed, 24/7. Planet Fitness. The world judges. We don't.
When skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using color radar reports and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters and meteorologists on KOTV, the news on 6. Dedicated to keeping you and your family safe, keep a battery-operated radio close at hand. And when severe weather hits our area, go to a safe place and tune into K1 1400 and FM 93.3 for all the details. Severe weather coverage is brought to you by Tate Boys Tire, Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Wrecker Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rental, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance Service, Lucas Metalworks, Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern. Count on K1 for the area's most complete weather coverage.
All right, good morning, and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. Larry Glass is with us. Your phone calls are welcome at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Well, we touched on the poinsettia, and what do we have next on our list of goodies today?
Oh, perennials.
We
have a few perennials for sale, and also in your landscape compositions, you want to leave some room for some perennials as well as annuals.
Mm-hmm.
The perennials come back every year, as the name implies.
Yeah.
and they bloom, most of them bloom at a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a little bit strategic with this, in other words, as far as your planning is concerned on that. And some of the perennials do bloom. For instance, those scabiosas, they bloom pretty much all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
And some others that do that really well also. So, but they're not over the show. The bloom flower is another one. It's a cool-looking plant. But anyway, platycodon, you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, I'm wearing with you, man.
But there are some perennials that do bloom for a longer period of time. And the favorite ones around here, of course, are the echinaceae or I can't think of the common name, but anyway, those do rather well here.
Mm-hmm.
And and the black-eyed Susans do rather well, too, also. And one plant, perennial, that I kind of really like is the heuchera. And it is it has colored leaves on it.
There you go.
Yellows and reds and some bright greens and so on.
So it really pops.
And orange, yeah. It gives you some pop in the shade, as far as that's concerned. And they do very well close to, say, hostas.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of do well with them together. You get this foliage garden really nice. If you layer it nicely, it can be very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Hostas do very well with those too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even dwarf or a variegated liriope will do very well in a situation associated with those. And they can take some shade. And also, I like to use the Japanese painted ferns with the heuchera and the hostas in there too. It gives you some textural relief and so on. So, you can have a good perennial composition in the shade as well as the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have something blooming pretty much all the time by picking out a sequence of blooms, when they bloom and all that.
Very nice.
And to bridge it together, leave room for some annuals. If you have some shady parts, you put some impatiens in there to kind of bridge the color gaps in the timing of your perennials, too. So...
There you go. That for your yard really has the fullness that it needs should have. You know?
Right. And right now the pansies are putting on a bit of a show out in people's yards. I know I have some in pots on the patio, and they're really very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
My yard is mostly shade in the back at this point. It was just
because
a blank slate when we moved there. Now it's pretty much shaded.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way I like it.
Uh-huh.
Shady in one part, sun in the other.
There you go.
And the pansies are doing very well in containers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've even watered them once or twice. We've had enough rain.
Let Mother Nature take care of it this time.
Exactly. I think looking at this week, I might have to water them coming up, though, towards the middle of the week. So anyway, so you can have color basically all year round with your shrubs and your perennials. So, and the azaleas also make a good color. The encore azaleas, they need more light than most of them.
Okay.
And they can pop on a few flowers in a warm spell in the wintertime too.
Good to know.
And your Eleagnus will bloom in the wintertime.
Your Eleagnus, that's blooming.
That stuff, if you can get in the front door, it's a real nice plant. And there are also some shrubs that put on some good color in the winter.
There are, yeah.
The Nandinas, Obsession Nandina is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And a real workhorse in the landscape is the dwarf Nandina, the fire power dwarf Nandina. Mm-hmm. Mine at the house are just a bright red color right now, and they're backed up with some boxwoods.
Oh, wow.
Puts on a really good show. And even though there are no annuals in the front beds on the house, there is color with various colored shrubs and things. I've got some moonbades, it's Gulfstream Nandinas, and some dwarf tail ponds and whatnot. And so there's some interest going on. I haven't planted any pansies, though.
No, you just got them on the doorstep.
I know, right? I just haven't had any time. I mean,
you're a little bit busy this time of year.
Yeah, very busy this year. So anyway, you can have some color pretty much all year round.
Yeah.
Different shrubs and things.
It's easy to do. All you have to do is ask Larry, and he'll make sure that, you know, you've got the everything you need for just, you know, for your surroundings, for your yard, for your home, and what have you, and it's just a phone call away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that leads us to the perennial of the week.
Perennial of the week.
Which is the daffodil. Mm-hmm. It's an early season bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a member of the amaryllis family, believe it or not. Mm. And good thing about them is the deer won't eat them.
No, they won't.
They're poisonous. So if they do, you won't need a shotgun. It'll kill them.
They won't come near it. Take a whiff of that. Nah, pass.
When you get your daffodil bulbs, you want to plant them about 6 inches deep.
Okay.
I like to plant them in groups of four or five for the best effect.
Okay.
And bone meal or superphosphate in the spring and fall will enhance the stem strength. It'll tolerate our 66-mile-an-hour winds we had better.
Yeah.
And they're available in the dwarf varieties, too. I have some Tita Teats at home. Okay. And they've kind of spread around, and they're those little dwarf daffodils.
Oh, cute little buggers.
Yeah, cute little things. And I do separate them, dig them up, and plant them in the yard here and there. And they're really nice in the spring.
I imagine.
A good harbinger to spring. Mm-hmm. Plant them not at the front of the beds, but plant them towards the back of your beds, of your annual beds or your perennial beds. Because the leaves have to stay on them for a long period of time to replenish the bulb in preparation for next year.
Got it.
And because they do project rather tall, they can go in further in the back of the bed and reserve the front of the bed for either little perennials or annual turnover plants. For instance, for wintertime, the pansies or something in the front of the bed, or in the summertime, begonias, whopper begonias, or impatiens, or sun patiens, so on in the front. So, and you don't have to plant them all the way. Just do it in groups. Block the plants with mulch in between or something in between. You don't really have to plant solid daffodils. Just use to get some good effect. You can put them in groups. I said earlier, groups of four to five.
That'd give you the best result. Yeah,
you don't want to plant a little tiny row of daffodils or tulips just along the sidewalk. Like little soldiers running up. No, you plant them in groups. They naturalize better that way.
There you go.
So if you do have some bulbs and you haven't planted them yet, you better get after it.
The times are running.
October, November, those are when they really, really need to be in the ground. December, they really, really need to be in the ground. And we get some calls from people in February. Is it too late to plant the bulbs?
A little bit.
No.
Really? It isn't?
No. They'll have little blooms about so tall they really won't develop big flowers by then because they don't have a root system to feed that tall.
Yeah.
So if you do have some bulbs, you do want to get them in the ground as soon as possible.
Very good. Very good. Let's take one last quick break, and we'll have more in just a moment after this time out.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
This is Curtis Bailey, owner of the BNC Automotive Napa Auto Parts Store here in town, and we've been advertising on the radio for several years now, and we have seen results.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
All righty, we're on the short side of the program here, but we are continuing onward here with the Green Country Gardener. And we have Larry here with us, and we just got done talking about our daffodils and such and planting them in clusters. What do we have left to roll through here on our agenda today?
Yes, houseplants. We do have a good good selection, a greenhouse full of houseplants. Goodness gracious.
A little froggy in here.
Ribbit. Anyway, our greenhouse survived the winds rather well.
How, really?
That's yeah, they're designed designed up to 115 miles an hour.
So well, they just got to work out there.
Yeah, it shakes around like a schooner ship.
Man.
So anyway, well, we do have some good houseplants right now. Anything from Allegheny's to, Ziziphus. It's easy fern, yes. Anyway, and a lot of succulents in between. Mm-hmm. So come check out the houseplants. They make great gifts for people.
They do.
And they're very attractive to have in the house, make your house green, and a little bit of oxygen in there helps out too. Mm-hmm. So big house plants and little house plants and everything in between, all kinds of colors, and of course the poinsettias and Christmas cactus.
Christmas cactus.
Oh, yeah, they're blooming up crazy right now.
I bet they are.
A very attractive plant.
They are.
They bloom nicely. They're actually not a cactus.
What are they?
They're not a cactus. technically, they look kind of like cactus. Uh-huh. And really, what makes them bloom is a dry period followed by a shortening of the day and then water coming on that stimulates them to bloom.
Oh, I got it.
So it's a length of day and available resources typically dictates when they bloom.
Mm-hmm.
and typically, in their native habitat, that happens about this time of year. That's why that's called. Really, they should be called Thanksgiving cactus because that's really when they begin to bloom. With the glow, we're able to delay that bloom time, and thus they've gotten the notation of a being a Christmas cactus rather than a Thanksgiving cactus. So, we got those, and all kinds of cool and weird stuff too. So, houseplants. So.
And of course, any kind of advice you need, just ask the expert. You know,
exactly.
Larry will get you taken care of. If you're looking forward to making some plans, you got a new home, or you're looking really amping up your home as far as the landscape is concerned, dial him up. Come on out and have a chat.
Yeah, I'll come out. It doesn't cost anything. You get a plan done. So just call and you'll be surprised at the results. So we have good wind chimes too.
I forgot about that.
Fine-tuned aluminum wind chimes.
How'd they do in that wind Tuesday night?
I don't know. The front door was shut. I wasn't there, so.
Went off like a symphony.
Imagine until I opened the door and, it does get kind of noisy. Anyway, keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.